one-way, two-piece through the power of the cross. Yeah.
Yes.
Peace, peace, brother. Jesus freaks. Loved them, David. Those were great days. We are really, Denny and I are, hopefully y'all too, we're really enjoying being able to come up with Bible characters. There's so many, and yet some of them seem to be very obscure. We don't know much about them. We just see their names sometimes in a verse, and we don't know much about them. And so it's real easy to kind of read over them. There are some that their actions are written and chronicled in the Scripture, so we can look at that. But if we believe that all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16. If we really believe that, we've got to look at the Bible in a way that there's not anything in there that's useless. Because it says all Scripture is profitable. And some of these characters, these people, seem to be obscured, but there was a reason there. Secondly, though, the Bible doesn't chronicle every minute of every day in history. Well, you got to keep that in mind. Especially when people say, well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible didn't say they did that. Well, that's true, but the Bible doesn't record every minute of every day of history. What the Bible records are things that are profitable to us, and they're there for a reason. So therefore, when these characters come up, they're kind of obscure, like what we did with Jabez, very obscure. We will move over today. The character I want to deal with today is one that's a little bit obscure, and it's Thomas. We don't know much about him. We really don't know much about Thomas, except this, that Thomas had an AKA. He was also known as Doubting Thomas. Isn't that what we tag him with? Oh, well, here comes Doubting Thomas. You know, Doubting Thomas. Because all we know about him, he demonstrates some doubt. And sometimes we don't think that doubting has any place in a Christian's life, a believer's life, a person of faith's life. And so we have a tendency to kind of criticize Thomas. We have kind of a tendency to criticize Simon Peter. If you just take the 12 disciples, each of them were different. Some of them were obscure. We don't know anything about many of the disciples other than their name was in a list. But then there are some disciples we know a whole lot about because they acted out. Simon Peter. We know a whole lot about Simon Peter, don't we? I bet you Simon Peter comes up on the screen multiple times in the next 5 years while we're in this series. Because he did so much. I mean, he was out there. He was that sanguine temperament. You knew he was in the boat. You knew he was in the room. You knew he was at the kindling around the fire that was kindling. You knew he was there. Simon Peter gives us a lot of material. I love Simon Peter. I can relate to him. Let me stop for a moment. Thank you for sitting there. Bless her heart. Warren and Lillian thought this was a revival, and this was pack the pew night, and they couldn't pack their pew. They couldn't get anybody to sit with them. None. I watched people walk up. Warren, you didn't see it because your back was to them. They walked up and they went, ooh.
They thought she was still contagious.
Yeah, and even someone ventured to the front row, which is really something to do. I'll go sit on the front row, man. Thank you for sitting there. Because she was feeling rejection. She was. Like she was contagious. Thank you. Y'all don't win the helicopter ride at the revival because y'all really didn't pack your pew there. Now, those of you on the back, you've packed your pew, you'll get the free snow cone, okay? Y'all will be fine. But I love Simon Peter. He gives us a lot of material. And he did some things that were goofy. He did some things that were right. We can learn from all of them. Likewise, we're going to learn from Doubting Thomas today some things about him. We can learn from it. Now, who was Thomas? This disciple was mentioned in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's also mentioned in Acts, but he's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. You see his name, okay? And so when you see his name at least four or five times, then he becomes what you think is a major character. But really, he's kind of obscure. We don't know a whole lot about Thomas. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Listen, he didn't make any mistakes. He chose 12 of them. I mean, you're it. And he told them, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And so for 3 years, he poured his life into these 12 guys. Because he knew one of these days he was going to go to a cross and he was going to die. And he was going to die for us. And he was going to leave these 12 guys in charge. Leave the 12 guys in charge. Listen, even Judas Iscariot was not a wrong decision. Listen, Jesus knew what he was doing. All in the plan of God. Jesus had to go to the cross. Don't you feel sorry for Jesus going to the cross? I know he suffered the passion, the death on the cross, the painful death on the cross. And we've seen the movie that depicts that. It was terrible. But listen, Jesus had to go to the cross. I mean, you wouldn't want somebody to overtake the Roman soldiers, not these 12 guys. Roman soldiers are 11 guys. These Roman soldiers and save him and take him away somewhere. They tried to do that in the garden. You remember when the soldiers came in to get Jesus and Peter, our hero, he jumps up and tries to fight them off. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, get out of the way. You don't even know what you're doing. I'm going to cross. Willingly, I'm going to die for you. And so each of these 12 had a purpose and a meaning. Even A.K.A. Doubting Thomas, he's mentioned in the four Gospels here. But only the Gospel of John really shed some light on this thing. He was referred to, the name in Hebrew means the twin. But the Scripture doesn't say anything about his twin. See, and I ask questions like that. I know maybe some of you do too, but when I read, and when I found out, you know, that his name means twin, I'm going to say, where's the twin? You know, usually they're all together, twins. Anybody knew you're a twin? Okay. Rev, you're a twin?
Yeah.
Oh, God, help us. Where does he live?
She.
It's a she?
My sister.
Oh. Well, then really you're not alike.
No.
No, we're not.
No.
She's a look.
She's an attorney.
She's a good debater and arguer. Yeah. Likes the facts.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
She is an attorney. No, my twin sister, you go love this. My twin sister was a National Organization of Women's of the Year, State of Texas.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations, Ralph.
NC, yeah.
If you're a twin, whatever she accomplished, you accomplished.
Yeah.
Vet.
What's his sister's hair look?
Does she look like you, Ralph?
No.
God. Isn't that something? So you're saying you're not identical twins.
We used to say when somebody said, oh, you're twins. No, the other was, you know, this is when we were 14.
Yeah.
Oh, you're twins. We'd go, oh, no, we're really triplets. The other one got married when she turned
12. We don't know anything about his twin. And so that, where's his twin? Was the twin a follower? Was the twin... But twins are independent of each other, aren't they, Ralph, really? You know, as much as everybody wants to lump you together and dress you alike, you know, they didn't in your case, but you know what I mean? I know some twins that, man, they finish sentences for each other. It's just spooky out there. Well, it means twin. It's referred to as a twin here in the Bible. He's mentioned, if you're taking notes, he is mentioned, though, in the book of John. This is where he gets his notoriety. His name in all of these lists here, he's mentioned in John, in John 11 through 16, John 14, 1 through 7, John 20, 24 through 29, and then in John 21, 1 through 12. We're going to look at that. So if it hadn't been for the Gospel of John, we wouldn't have known anything about Thomas other than he would have been in a list of names. And I'm not trying to spiritualize here, but when you look at those list of names in Matthew 10, 3, and Mark 3, 18, and Luke 6, 15, those are the other three Gospels that he's mentioned. Matthew 10, 3, Mark 3, 18, and Luke 6, 15. All it is his name only, and it's in the middle of the list. Now, I don't know how you put lists together. Sometimes you do alphabetical lists, but sometimes you put lists together by importance, from most important to least important. So if you want to go with that theory, he's in the middle of the pack. So he's kind of average disciple. His name is always in the middle of the pack in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and also Acts 1:13. But it's name only. The other name given to him is Didymus. When you see the word Didymus, it's the same word as Thomas. And so we're trying to get as much information on this guy as we can. And so he's mentioned, though, these four times in the book of John, which is very important. These episodes that we're going to look at suggest that Thomas was very, very loyal to Jesus. Very loyal to Jesus. In his four episodes. He was not afraid to ask questions. Some of you in here, I don't know your personality and temperament, but we're all different. Some of you in here may don't have a tendency to ask a lot of questions. I don't know. I would... in school, it's usually manifested this way. I would ask some questions in school. Now, don't think I was an intellect. I was not. In fact, I was trying to trick the teachers. I would ask questions so they would think, Warren, you're an old teacher. Warren, do you know that I was with somebody yesterday that you taught chemistry to at Dickinson High School?
Mm-hmm. Who was it?
It's a hairdresser over at the hair gallery.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't even remember the student you had at Dickinson 50 years ago. I can't believe that. Mary? Contrary? Anyway, Warren, if I was in your class, Warren, you were a good teacher, Warren, but if I was in your class, I'd be asking questions in class. Because you got all these 30 adolescents sitting in this class here, and somewhere I wanted you to think that I was interested in what you were teaching. You knew guys like me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Warren, if you ever ask a question of the class, and this is how adolescents think. If you ask a question in class, the tendency is for the students not to answer the question. See, but here, it's a risk to answer questions. Y'all got to think like a teenager. Say, if a teacher asks a question, and let's say, Warren, you're teaching history, which you probably could, but you taught chemistry. That back when there were five elements. The only thing I got out of chemistry is K is for potassium, eat a lot of bananas.
Yep.
Okay. And let's say you're teaching history, okay? And so, Mr. Gafford, Mr. Peepers, y'all remember Mr. Peepers? Yeah, that's way back. Wally Cox. So let's say you ask the question, who was the first president of the United States? Well, a lot of these students are not going to answer that question. A lot of them know the answer. They're not going to answer the question. Why? Because they don't want to be called a name. If they answer and get it right, they're called encyclopedia mouth. If they answer and get it wrong, everybody laughs at them. So what's safe for the adolescent is just to sit there and stare at the teacher. Well, Thomas would answer questions. He would ask questions. He was known by that. His personality and temperament, he would ask questions. He was not willing to accept the word of the other guys in this group. He wasn't willing to accept, you're going to see, even when Jesus said something. So he wasn't disloyal. He was very loyal, but he kind of demanded hard evidence, and Jesus would provide him this evidence. But he asked a lot of questions. What does the Bible say about Thomas? First, take your Bible, if you will, and turn to John chapter 11, verse 11 through 16. John chapter 11, verses 11 through 16. We're going to stay in the book of John, if that's all you brought with you. We're going to stay in the book of John this morning. John chapter 11. 11 through 16. These are four instances you're very familiar with that involved Thomas. 11 through 16. John These things said he, and after he said to them, Jesus is speaking, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, and I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Here was the story. His friend Lazarus, had two sisters. What were their names? Come on, class. Warren, is this how you do it? You try to get them to... Mary and Martha. They lived where? In a town called Bethany. They lived in Bethany, and word came to Jesus that the Lazarus was very, very sick, and he was close to death. Jesus says to the disciples, because they're hanging around him at that time, because he's poured his life into them. They slept together, they ate together, they cried together, they prayed together, and so he's with them, and they're learning some things from him. And he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken, taking a rest in sleep, that he was just sleeping. And then Jesus said unto them plainly, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Stick a fork in him. He's dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 16, then Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, said, let us also go that we may die with him. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Here's the story. Word came that Lazarus was sick unto death. Jesus said to the disciples, he's just asleep. They were paranoid. They were fearful. They were weenies. They thought, we can't go there to Bethany, because watch this, ladies and gentlemen, the climate at this time, the Roman soldiers and the Jewish religious leaders were after Jesus. And so the disciples didn't want to go to disclose themselves and go into public into Bethany and go to a public scene to visit Lazarus. Send him a card. Don't go there, Jesus, because if you go there, you're going to die. They're going to kill you. They're waiting on you to show up. Also what they're thinking, let's think what they're thinking. They're thinking, they're worried about their own hide. We can't go with you. We'll die too. They'll kill us. Let's just stay here. Look at the verse. Let's just stay here, because if he's just asleep, he will what? Recover. He will wake up. No big deal. If he's dead, you can't do anything about it. So Jesus, let's just stay here. But all of a sudden, here's Thomas. Don't call him doubting yet. Here's Thomas right here. He says, let's go with him that we can die. He wasn't talking about dying like Lazarus. He was talking about, if Jesus is going to die, I'm with him. Let's go. Now, Peter has said that before. You remember Peter?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll stand with you through thick and thin. Jesus said, you don't even know what you're talking about, Peter. You'll deny knowing me 3 times before the rooster crows. And y'all know that story. He did. But Thomas was serious here. He said, let's go to this small town that's just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And even though you've been warned not to go to Jerusalem because the opponents were planning to kill you, if they kill you, they're going to kill us. The disciples tried to talk Jesus out of returning to Bethany. And so this is the logic of man. The disciples were thinking in logic. And logic says, if he's sick, he'll get well. If he's dead, he's not going to get well. You can't do anything about that. So that here the disciples were operating out of their logic. They figured it out. Don't we figure things out a lot of times? I figured this and I figured that. The disciples seem to have faltered a little bit in their loyalty here. They feared this conflict, and even death awaited them. And Thomas's response represented maybe a pessimistic point of view. That Thomas said, well, we go there, we're going to die, let's go. Well, like he's a pessimist. But any optimist, any optimist can be loyal to a cause. In my opinion, it takes great faith for a pessimist to remain loyal. But that's exactly what Thomas did here in this story right here. He said, let us all go that we may die with him. His words may have rekindled maybe a flickering loyalty of the disciples of the other 11. And so you know the story. They went on to Bethany, and of course at that point, that was when Jesus went there. We're not doing all the other Bible characters, but he was met by the sister of Lazarus out of town and said, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Kind of got on to Jesus is what she did. She rebuked him. If you'd have been here. Because what he did, if you read up there in that section, he waited. He tarried. He's dead. Let's go. That's what he did. He tarried until he knew he was dead, placed in a tomb, and they went. Came on in close to town, the other sister encountered him and said, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. When you get two people to say the same thing at different places, they've been talking to each other. So they've probably been sitting around bad-mouthing Jesus. He walked right up to the grave. You remember what he said? Three words. Come forth, Lazarus. And what did Lazarus do? He came forth. And we've talked about this before. Aren't you glad that he called Lazarus by name? If Jesus just gone in that cemetery and said, come forth. No, you go back in there. Not you. Just you. You, Lazarus. You come on forth. Thomas said, let's go. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die for this cause. So, you know, we talk about doubting Thomas. He asked a lot of questions. Here's another one for you. Turn to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. This is one that's very familiar to you. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. This is the unasked question. You hear this a lot at funerals. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus says. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. He's teaching one. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you into my sight. There where I am, that you may be also. And whether I go, you know. And the way, you know. In verse 5, there's our Bible character for today. Thomas raises his hand. He asks a question. And he says, Lord, we don't know where you go, and how in the world can we know the way? Question mark. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one come to the Father except by me. If you've known me, you should have known my Father, and also from henceforth you know him and have seen him. In the upper room, Jesus is speaking intense words of comfort to his disciples. He's preparing them for the time that he goes to the cross. He's preparing them for the time after the resurrection and talking about heaven. And so they're in the upper room and he's teaching them. It's their lesson for today. And he used figures of speech that exceeded these disciples' imagination. In my Father's house are many mansions. See, we can't even conceive that in our mind, our finite mind. We try to about heaven and the mansion and the streets and all of that. He told them that their time together was limited. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to sit here much longer. I'm out of here. It's just like they didn't have a clue what was going on, what they were in the midst of. He tried to prepare them for the violence and the conflict that was going to happen. And all of them, in their humanistic mind, they all feared their own lives as well as his. And when Jesus began to speak about going to a house with many rooms and said his disciples knew the way to that house, and not a soul there knew what he was talking about. Now, when this happens in class, I know you're an expert teacher. You got students, you're telling them facts up there, and they're looking like a cat, looking at a calf, at a new gate. They're just going... I can see these disciples. He's talking about something they couldn't even comprehend. And nobody wants to ask a question. Nobody wants to raise their hand. Nobody wants a clarification. They just kind of go, They kind of go along to get along, to get a good grade maybe. And not a soul there knew what he was talking about. But only Thomas, our Bible character of the day, but only Thomas spoke up and said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? At least Thomas was candid enough to admit that he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. I wish I'd have been, as bold as I am, I wish I'd have been bolder in school to say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. But you go along and you go to the test and you try to at least make a 70 and get on down the road. Folks, we're talking about the kingdom of God here. I mean, he had already given them in Matthew 16 a midterm exam. Do you know who I am? Remember that one around the fire? Do you know who I am? Who are people saying I am? Remember that one? And Peter, that's another Bible character. Peter popped up and said something that sounded stupid to the rest of the guys. But he was right on target. Thomas speaks up here and says, we don't know where you're going. And how in the world do we know the way? He admitted that he didn't understand. But his question, look here, did not receive a rebuke from Jesus. Jesus didn't say, did you study your homework last night? Did you read that chapter I told y'all to read? He didn't know the answer to this. No, he didn't rebuke him. Very tenderly he just said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except by me. At least Thomas spoke up and asked the question. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25. Let's do verses 22. 20 to 25. John chapter 20. 20 through 25. Here's another scene. Let's go back up to verse 19 too. Then on the same day in the evening, this is after the crucifixion. After the crucifixion, Jesus was seen by more than 500 people post-resurrection scenes. They saw him. They saw him. After he had been placed in the tomb, that tomb was empty, he was seen. One of the scenes was he was walking on the way to Emmaus. Two disciples were, and Jesus comes along beside of them, just like right here, comes alongside of them. They're walking, they're going to a mess, fast walking, they're walking, and Jesus comes along the side of them. The Bible said they didn't even know who he was. And so he just asked them questions. Hey, where y'all going? Hey, we're going down here, we're going to Emmaus. Okay, can I walk along with you? Yeah, we don't care. The Bible said their eyes were behold, they didn't even know who he was. Didn't even know who he was. And so as they got to the exit ramp to get off to Emmaus, he acted like he was going on past it. And they asked, well, you want to go in with us? So they get off the exit ramp to Emmaus and go down there. And the Bible said he prepared a meal for them. And when he served the meal, here's the verse, when he served the meal, their eyes were opened up and they knew who he was. How did that happen? What did they see? No. Go to the back row.
Be one of the question asks.
There's one. You see what I'm saying? This is like classroom. I love this. They served the meal. When he served the meal to them, they saw his hands. And the Bible said their eyes were opened up and they knew that he was Jesus. Now we're over here in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day in that evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, just like this room, the doors were shut, and when the disciples had assembled in here, here's what the word assemble means, they were hunkered down. Why? Because look what it says. They were hunkered down for the fear of the Jews. This was post-resurrection. You got this? They're scared to death. They're clinging together. They don't know what's going to happen. The Master is gone. Listen, all the teaching that just went out their head. You know? And so they hunkered down in this place. The doors are shut. They're fearful of the Jews. And the Bible said, and Jesus stood in the midst of them. Now watch, folks. He came through the wall. He came through the door. He came through this aisle. I don't know, but he appeared in the room. Doesn't happen every day. When Jesus stood in the midst of them and he said to them, this is a good thing to say to these guys hunkered down, holding on each other, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. Woo-hoo! And when they saw the Lord, and then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 23. Whosoever sins be remitted, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins retained, they are retained. It's talking about forgiveness here and salvation. Verse 24. Here's our hero. Here's our Bible character. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. inquisitive minds. Where was he? Did he not get the email? Why wasn't he hunkered down with the rest of the other 10 guys there? Why, where was he? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell everything, does it? But people mourn different ways, don't they? You've experienced death in your family, your and children, your brothers and sisters. Everybody mourns differently. Maybe he wanted to go be alone and ponder this. I don't know, but he wasn't there. And Jesus appeared and he wasn't there. And so what happens is that when he came back in, the disciples said to him, when they went and finally got with Thomas, they said, verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, you're drinking marijuana. You're snorting Sweden low. No, here's what he said. Except I see his hands in the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. No one knew where Thomas was, and he missed it. And so he had to depend on these guys telling them, we saw the Lord. Logic sets in. How could you... The doors were shut. He just popped up. And so Thomas is kind of doubting what they're saying. And so they heard him speak this word of peace, and they felt themselves filled with a new spirit of joy. And it was more than Thomas's mind could take in. He had probably been mourning the death of Jesus. He comes back in with the club, and they're telling Jesus, you missed Jesus, he was here. You know, over the years here at Sagemont Church, we've had some events, and we've had some things, and there's some people that have missed it. And yeah, I mean, you're out of town, you miss it. I'm not talking about legitimate stuff, but we've had some events here at our church. You know the story of Sagemont. We've had some events at our church, and not everybody was here. And so they had to hear it secondhand. They had to hear it when we was out there on that parking lot as we were getting closed in on the new building, as the money was coming in for the new building. You remember that one? And we bought the old newspaper seller of Ernest up there up on the stage. You remember that? You know the doves flying around? Brother John always brings the doves up. Every time we go out for baptism now, we're all out with binoculars looking for doves. There's three staff members. Their job is to look for the doves. Brother John can spot a dove 3 miles away, I promise you. He could shoot and hit it too. He can shoot bees out of there with a BB gun. And so we've had events like that. We've had the 40 days, you know, way back. And that was a miracle. We've been around miracles, but not everybody was here. And I'm talking about the people that could have been here but chose not to be there. They had to hear about it secondhand. They had to hear about it from Brother John in the Sagemont story. Those of us that were there, we've heard it 6 or 7 times. But those that weren't here needed to hear about it. And they're telling Thomas about this. He thought they were hallucinating. And see, Thomas the realist could not see how someone could come out of a sealed tomb and through a locked door. And he demanded definite proof that that's what they had seen and it was a reality. Now this twin, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And he said, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe. Turn now. Let's go to continue on here in John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. Two separate events. This third event was with the disciples, with Jesus, and Thomas wasn't there. This next one, Thomas is going to be there. John chapter 20, 26 through 29. And it says in your Bible, after 8 days, after that event, 8 days had passed, his disciples again were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut, that's his mode of entry, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst. Those doors had to stay shut. We were fearful of the Jews. The doors were shut. Jesus walks in, and he says, hey, peace unto you. Well, he's bringing this message of peace, isn't he? Post-resurrection. Peace, peace be unto you. And then he said to Thomas, nobody had to tell him, excuse me for the stereotype, Rob. Nobody tapped Jesus on the shoulder. You're not anything like Jesus. Nobody tapped Jesus on the shoulder. Thomas is here. You know, he wasn't here last week when you were here, but Thomas is here. But Jesus knew that Thomas was there. And he spoke to Thomas directly right here. And he said, "Reach hither in my finger, thy finger, and behold my hands. And then reach here with your hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." Verse 28, all Thomas said was, "My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God." And all of a sudden, Thomas responds with a personal encounter. Now it's personal. He's had a personal encounter. These doors had been shut, and Jesus came in and stood in the midst and said, "Peace." And then he said, "Thomas, put your hand, your finger here, and see my hands, and put your hand in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." And Thomas says in this encounter, "My Lord, my God." John chapter 21, verses 1 through 12. John is the only place where we know a little bit about Thomas, a.k.a. Doubting Thomas. That's where he got his name from. Faith comes in community. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 12. After these things, well, what things? After the encounter with the disciples without Thomas, after the encounter with the disciples with Thomas, after his encounter with Mary, after over 500 people saw him, after the walking on the road to Emmaus, post-resurrection, verse 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise he showed himself. Verse 2. There were together Simon Peter, one, and Thomas. There's Thomas. He moved up to number 2 in the list. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael. Do we know anything about Nathanael? I think I'm going to get Denny to teach on that one. Nathanael of Cana, Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, that's John and James, the sons of Thunder, James and John. My two boys are named James and John. And the two other disciples. Peter, being a fisherman, now Thomas was a fisherman too, by trade. He was a fisherman by trade. You can be a fisherman by sport or a fisherman by trade. They were fishermen by trade. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And he said unto him, "We also will go with you. We'll go fishing. We like fishing." They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they had caught nothing. Man, I don't know. Those of you that are fishermen, night fishermen, Larry Castle was gone. He always catches everywhere he goes and when he goes. But hey, I don't know if you've ever gone night fishing and didn't catch anything. It makes for a long next day. That's what I'm telling you. It makes for a long next day. And so they went fishing all night long and they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Then Jesus, but in the morning, verse 4, when morning came, Jesus stood on the shore. So they're rowing to the shore, and they look out across the shore, and there's Jesus standing on the shore. Hey! Hey! All night long, they didn't catch anything, and all of a sudden they look up, and Jesus is on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know it was him. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, "Children," what a phrase, "children, have you any meat? Did you catch anything?" They answered him, "No." Verse 6, and he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." And so they cast forth, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said unto them, Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard it, it was the Lord. He girded his father's fisher's coat upon him, and he did cast himself into the sea. He threw himself in the sea. That Peter. God, I can't wait till we talk about him. Verse 8, and the other disciples came into a little ship, and they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with the fish. And as soon as they came to land, they saw a fire of coals that had already been made. Jesus had done that. And fish laid upon it, and bread. I mean, he already had fish and bread, and he had supper planned. They're dragging their fish in. They hadn't even cleaned yet, in with these nets. Jesus said to them, verse 10, "Bring the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153, and for all there were so many. I know I ask questions. I don't know why they stopped and counted the fish. I don't think I'd count the fish. But they
breakfast and ready.
It's already on the. Hey, we'll clean those later, okay? We'll clean those later. And we don't have to count them. I don't know, is the game warden coming? The fish, you know, game warden. Hey, you only have 150. You got three over. No, but 153 fish, that's great. Jesus said to them, verse 12, come and dine, and none of the disciples ask him, who art thou? Knowing it, that it was the Lord. Thomas now is with this community of faith. He missed the appearance with the risen Lord in that first encounter in the house. When he returned, he knew they experienced something that he had not. And when he finally experienced it himself, it was an experience of the risen Lord with others. And here's what he learned, ladies and gentlemen. He learned that if you're going to have an encounter with the Lord, you need to be in the presence of fellow believers. Hebrews chapter 10, I love this story, the verse. Hebrews chapter 10 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. But to come together and encourage one another, the Bible says provoke one another, and some of you think the word provoke means to make mad. It doesn't mean to make mad all the time. Provoke, encourage one another to love and good works. The Scripture says, when believers come together, you need to be there. Don't neglect that. Don't make it a part of your lifestyle not to assemble yourselves together. This has to do with being in church. You know, being home, it has to do with being in church. I'm just telling you, sometimes when the church gathers and there's a community, it comes together in community, and you're not here, you miss an opportunity for an encounter. You miss that. Forsake not the assembling yourselves as a manner of some is. These are the five instances where we have Thomas, doubting Thomas. What is the spiritual message in Thomas's life? Thomas demonstrated his faith by serving the Lord and willing to die with Him. Now, he was serious about this. It wasn't kind of like Peter popping off and saying something. He didn't know what he was saying. I really believe Thomas was ready to go and die for the cause and everything. He demonstrated his faith. He never doubted his willingness to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas, as I close, Thomas was very inquisitive. It's okay to ask questions. Somebody in class ought to ask questions. I know sometimes I've had people tell me, because I'm always one asking questions, Warren.